Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. This hymn is to the point in setting the scene for a transition from one year to the next. No unwanted sentimentality, a straightforward call to work and wait in the presence of God. That is our life's calling, is it not? That is what the Lord asked us to do in 2021. And at the same time, that is our task for 2022. When we look back over 2021, we undoubtedly must confess that not everything we did was that kind of work, that kind of waiting. But as Christians, I hope we made some progress. After all, the work of the Lord should not be in vain. We are renewed through Jesus Christ. We have the promise of the work of Christ's Spirit, who continues the work of sanctification within us. Where did we go? How did we do? The answer depends on our commitment to the Lord. When that commitment was not there, pray the Lord fervently that He will forgive, and repent rapidly to the Lord so that working and waiting will characterize your life as well. We also look forward. There is always some apprehension about entering a new year. Once again, we are reminded that the future is hidden from us. What will 2022 bring? Much of the same of 2021? Will the global pandemic take an even deeper hold, bringing with it separation, economic hardship, sickness, and death? Will there be increasing tension in the Middle East? Will opposition to the Christian faith become even more strident? Will I still be here at the end of the new year? And you? Will the hopes I have become reality? Will I reach my ideals? What about my children? Will they walk in the fear of the Lord? What about my example? What kind of image do I project when I speak, when I do things at home, in church, at work, with friends? What will my health be like this coming year? Will we finally be drawn together around the Word of God? Or will we refuse to listen to each other and so become victims of the devil's attacks? And so we could multiply these questions, and there is no answer. Is that true, congregation? Is there really no answer? If not, then what in the world are we doing here in church? Of course, we are here because there is an answer, and that answer is proclaimed to you this evening. It comes to us in the title of our sermon, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Even though many Bibles attribute the Lamentations to Jeremiah, we can't be absolutely sure whether he wrote them or not. For now, let's assume that he did. The human author isn't of prime importance here. It is the Word of God that comes to us this day. That word tells us that there are children of God who lament. Their lamentation has to do with the condition of God's people at that particular time. They lament because of the affliction they experience. They lament because they cannot worship God at the place which the Lord Himself had chosen as the place of worship. Apparently, the people are in captivity, away from the holy place where the Lord was visibly present among His people. And consequently, the people lament because of the many problems and troubles they all endure. They suffer because God is not with them in their experience. Does that not sound familiar? These are the lamentations of the people as a people. And among these communal lamentations, we find chapter 3, which speaks of more personal troubles. We read that chapter together before. Jeremiah feels himself completely left alone by God. Even worse, he feels that God has chosen him to unburden his wrath, God's wrath. No wonder Jeremiah expresses himself in such a despondent manner. If you ever thought you had problems, you better listen and compare those with what Jeremiah has to say in chapter 3. He says in verse 1, "I am the man that has seen affliction." Verse 3, "Surely against me he turns his hand again and again, the whole day long." Verse 8, "Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." Verse 14, "I have become the laughingstock of all peoples." That is rather tough, to say the least, and we sympathize with him. At least, he's not one of those pious do-gooders whose devoutness seems insincere. On the contrary, don't we often feel the same way? And can't we say that Jeremiah speaks our language? Doesn't it surprise us that we find this kind of talk in the Bible? At least this is realistic. And now when we look back over a year that has gone by and stand before a new year, which asks of us the courage to begin it and live it, can we not say to Jeremiah, "Let's shake hands"? And that's fine, if then also you have the courage to hold on to his hand and follow him as he continues to say a few more things, when he seems to climb out of the despondency that he so obviously showed so far, and when he joins those who do not experience this dejection, who do not feel all that miserable, the ones who live the more happy lives, the ones who know the Lord is near. And now we come to the text itself. Jeremiah apparently does not feel the nearness of God, but that does not mean that God is not near. Feelings can deceive. They often change with the moods we are in, but the nearness of the Lord is not dependent on our moods. The Lord is near to all those who call on his name, says the Bible, the objective word of God, which stands forever and changes never. And so we read that Jeremiah calls on the name of God. He senses that God shuts out his prayer, but still he continues to communicate with the Lord. And he tells the Lord exactly how he feels, what his experiences are. He opens up and does not hide anything from God. He says it, "Lord, you know how I feel, rather miserable. My strength is perished, can't go on. You know my misery and my affliction." And while he is saying all these things, he suddenly receives and sees the light. Do you notice how honestly he tells God everything? Do you know that this is the only way to have a fruitful prayer life, a living relationship, a living fellowship with the Lord? Tell God everything, also how you feel at a given moment. When you feel he is far away, tell him. Of course, when you feel great, tell him then too. It's no use to pretend or hide. Always tell. If you do that, your perception of a faraway God will change to know his nearness. So while Jeremiah is saying all these things, he suddenly recalls, as we are told in verse 21, it suddenly strikes him and gives him hope, and hope is the certainty of a future that affects your living today. And what Jeremiah recalls is the sure knowledge that God's steadfast love never ceases. If it were not for the steadfast love, or to use a better word, the loving kindness of the Lord, he, that is Jeremiah, would not be there. Jeremiah remembers God as love, and God's love is steadfast, because he is steadfast. That is firm, reliable, never changing. And God's love comes to us with kindness, with sympathy. He understands. Perhaps we don't feel it. Perhaps our mood shuts out the Lord. But he is there with his love nevertheless. He is there with his mercy. There is no end to his grace. God gives and gives and gives. He loves and loves and loves. He draws us. He takes us in his arms. He holds us. He keeps us. He will not let go of us. This is what Jeremiah suddenly realizes. And he did not even see Jesus Christ. He only knew of promises, great promises, that is true, but only promises nevertheless. He had not seen the fulfillment as yet, but still he makes the good confession of faith. He lifts himself up, not by looking at himself, but by looking at God, by relying on the Lord's faithfulness, God's trust, which never ends, never ceases. If you ever doubted this truth, look first of all at our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. May I impress on you again this day the faithfulness of God. And now think back over 2021. Perhaps you met difficulties. Perhaps there were problems. But at the end of this year, we must confess with joy and gladness the steadfast love of the Lord never ceased. His mercies never came to an end. Do you know what that means at the beginning of the new year? It means that there is hope, that there is a challenge, and that there is a joyful future. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means no matter what the future holds, the loving kindness of the Lord, his mercy, never ceases, also in 2022. I assure you from the Word of God that God is with us. He not only sympathizes with us, he alleviates, he takes away that which bothers, that which stands in the way of our fellowship with him. He makes his love shine through again and again. There is even more. The steadfast love and mercy of God are not only never-ending, but we also read in verse 23 that they are new every day. When you wake up tomorrow and the day after, yes, throughout the year 2022, remember that on that day, God's smile, his kindness, his love, his grace is new for you again. Because God is your God, new every morning. Life is not a drag, the same old, all over again. It is new. Let it sing within us next year and re-echo. God is there. God is here with his care, and each day will become great, a day in which we are privileged to respond to God's love and mercy, and so each day becomes a day of close communion with our God and a day of service. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? It is no wonder, is it, that the text culminates in the cry of exclamation, "Great is God's faithfulness." Indeed, that which is humanly impossible, that God does. What a God we have. It is our covenant God. It is the Father who tells us, because Lord is written in capital letters, and that name expresses the greatness, the love, and the mercy of our God in Jesus Christ. It is still true. We do not know what the new year will bring. But what does it matter? We are in God's hand. He assures us today of his love, his compassion, which is new every day. His faithfulness, it is there. And I know that therefore all things, also the things happening in the world, yes, all of world history, is in the Father's hand as well. This truth helps us. It gives us surety. It gives us courage. The Lord says so already in the Old Testament. No wonder that we say the Bible reveals to us the history of redemption. And indeed, it is redemption from step to step, from moment to moment, from day to day. And we say, thank you so much, Lord. We have seen Christ, our Lord, Jesus, our Saviour. And with that, Lord, we can do anything. Lord, with you, I am not afraid to begin another year. With you, I will use the talents that you gave me. With you, I will not and I do not want to stay behind. I will not and I don't want to stand at the sidelines. With you, I want to go. Be involved. Show me, Lord, where I fit in. Let 2022 be a great year with you. Trust in God, O people of the Lord. Dare to put your life in God's hand, regardless of the consequences. Just believe and walk with the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and the assurance that we have from it of your saving grace, your constant nearness, your fellowship with your people. We thank you for your abiding love in the year that has passed, and we commit ourselves to you and your service in the year that lies ahead. Watch over us, bless us, and strengthen us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.